everyone, and welcome back to Compliance Chats, a new podcast series intended to keep faculty and staff up to date on various compliance matters. I'm Omar Andujar with the Office of Audit, Compliance, and Ethics, and today I'm joined by Brandon Murray, Academic Affairs and Policy Specialist with the Office of the Provost. Today we're discussing a very important topic, faculty consulting at UConn. Given the environment that we work in, Brandon, I would assume this is a very popular topic. So thank you again for joining us. And to set the stage for today's discussion, can you please explain what is meant by faculty consulting?
Sure. And first off, thank you for having me, Omar. It's a pleasure. Faculty consulting might be better understood if it was called paid faculty consulting. So the three keys to consulting at the university are that a faculty member or a member of the AUP is being paid for an activity, and they're being paid for an activity because of their expertise, and they are pursuing the activity because it is unrelated to their state service.
So now that we have a greater understanding of what faculty consulting is, can you describe any differences between a consulting activity and outside work performed as a state employee?
So I think there would generally be two scenarios where a faculty member would engage in an activity that would not fall under faculty consulting. The first would be when a faculty member performs an activity based on their expertise and it's not related to their state employment, but they are not receiving compensation, so it wouldn't fall under faculty consulting. Instead, the faculty member might have obligations under necessary expenses through the Office of State Ethics, but it would not be faculty consulting because they're not being paid. Once a faculty member is being paid, and even if that's just a few dollars that a contracting entity gives a faculty member, let's say $1,000 for travel expenses, but the faculty member's personal expenses only added up to $900, they would need to submit a consulting request to cover that $100 in net income. The other scenario would be where a faculty member pursues an activity that is just entirely unrelated to their state service. So if a faculty member, for example, in the English department would like to pursue opening up a food truck, they would not have to pursue that under faculty consulting because it's not related to their expertise that is also related to their service at the university. The faculty member would have to, though, confirm with the Office of Audit, Compliance, and Ethics to ensure that their pursuit of a food truck or another outside activity was still in line with their obligations under the State Code of Ethics.
Great. I think those examples helped clarify the differences between a consulting activity and outside work performed as a state employee. I recently visited UConn's policy website, policy.ucon.edu, and I noticed that the university has a policy on faculty consulting. Can you give us a quick overview of that policy and other requirements that we need to be particularly aware of prior to engaging in a consulting activity?
Of course. So the university has a plethora of documentation on faculty consulting. There is a policy that is approved by the Board of Trustees, and every time an edit is made to that document, it is brought to the Board of Trustees for final approval. There is a procedures document, which is administered by the Office of the Provost and can be changed when the Provost sees fit, and then the Provost Office will inform the Board of those changes, but the Board does not make a final approval on those. And there's also other documents on sanctions if a faculty member fails to comply with the faculty consulting policy. And there's an additional documentation on consulting for 12-month employees who are not members of the AUP, but they have a faculty title. So those would include the vice provosts, the deans, associate deans, some center directors who are on 12-month contracts and are management exempt. They are allowed to consult, but they have other provisions that they need to adhere to beyond just the faculty consulting policy. But the policy in general requires that faculty submit and receive approval for consulting activities prior to engaging in any activity. Certain activities only require the approval of the department head. Those are generally very routine activities that the university wants its faculty to engage in, so that could include giving scholarly presentations, serving on review or grant panels, editing a book, a book chapter, or serving as an editor. And then there are other activities that require further approvals. This is usually based on the type of activity and the compensation level received, and those would require the department head's approval, the dean, the faculty consulting office, and then the provost's designee to review and approve the activity. And following approval and the pursuit of the activity, faculty are required to reconcile their activities at the end of every fiscal year to ensure that what was approved is correct, and any edits that need to be made to the dates of the activity, the amount of compensation received, can be updated there in reconciliation.
Great. I think you've given us a lot to consider, a lot to think about. This information was very, very helpful. Where can our listeners learn more about this topic and other helpful resources?
The faculty consulting offices maintain a website, consulting.ucon.edu. And on this website, you can find all of the policies, procedures, past audit reports. You can find a link to submit a consultant request or review your consulting requests where they are within the system and the online dashboard. You can find frequently asked questions and other documents to help a faculty member, and you can always call the faculty consulting office if assistance is needed.
Thank you so much, Brandon. I appreciate you taking the time to speak to us about this very important topic. For those of you tuning in, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Compliance Chats. We hope that this segment was helpful, and we encourage you to reach out to us should you need any additional information. As a reminder, Compliance Chats was brought to you by the Office of Audit, Compliance, and Ethics. I've been your host, Omar Andujar, and please be well and look for other interesting Compliance Chats in the coming weeks. Thank you.